GFF. I'm Lauren, the host of the Good Gluten-Free Grub podcast. Living with celiac disease has required constant adapting, and I am here to share how I live and love my gluten-free life and how you can too. I'm excited to be your new gluten-free friend. Thanks for being here and enjoy the show. Welcome back, my gluten-free friends. Thanks for returning and listening to my voice once a week. I really appreciate you coming back. I have a short and sweet episode today. I had somebody write in a question on Instagram, and I thought I would address it here so that I could do a little bit more of a deep dive, because I feel like that it's important to talk about and it might help some of you who need help with some advocacy tips and speaking up for yourself, things like that. So we're going to dive into that question. But before we do, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that I'm loving lately. Just to give a shout out to some awesome brands and to kind of tell you some really yummy things that I've eaten recently. Okay. So first thing I want to talk about is, the carrot cake that I had on Easter. So when I headed to Richfield, which is my hometown, I had asked my mom, you know, what's the food situation going to be? What meals are you planning on doing? And 99.9% of the time, I bring a handful of things myself. I bring things that like my mom might need that she wouldn't have on hand because she's not gluten-free. So I usually bring like one of those like collapsible totes from Costco, and I pack it with lots of things that I might need. And this trip specifically, I didn't pack anything, which is very, very unlike me. So I said to my mom, I'm like, you know, what's the plan for dessert? What's the plan for meals? First thing was chili. So we were doing chili and cornbread, and my mom had bought me a separate cornbread. She knows that she needs to cook the gluten-free cornbread first, and then she does the gluten one. So my mom knows all the rules, and she's great about stuff like that. But she had made sure that we had all the things. But the only thing that she didn't have was a chili packet, like a chili packet seasoning packet. And I had posted about this on my Instagram stories, if you want to go look. Sorry, not Instagram stories, on a reel about I had gone through my mom's cupboard to see if she had any chili packets. And she had two different brands. She had the McCormick brand, and she had the like a Winco brand, and both of them contained wheat. And so I ended up running to the store and buying a taco seasoning, because I prefer using taco seasoning in my chili instead of a chili mix, and then supplementing with cumin and chili powder. It just makes for a really great chili. Anyway, so I'd made a video about that. So if you want to go check that out, just a friendly reminder to always read ingredient labels, even in things that you might not think have gluten in them, like a taco packet or a chili packet. But then my mom was like, oh, Kenzie, my sister-in-law, she's making carrot cake. And I was like, okay, well, why don't I run to the store and I'll buy a carrot cake mix? So I went to the store and I bought a Mom's Place carrot cake mix. And I have tried a couple of things from Mom's Place, and they've all been great. And so my mom had called my sister-in-law and said, hey, we picked up a carrot cake for Lauren. And she was like, oh, I picked up that same exact carrot cake. I was going to make it for her. And I get a little bit nervous when someone's planning on making a regular cake and a gluten-free cake, because I'm like, I don't know what, I'm not there to supervise. And sometimes that causes me some anxiety. So Sunday morning, Easter morning, I called her and I said, hey, have you already made the gluten-free cake? And she said, yes, I already made it. She's like, I made it this morning before I even started doing the gluten one. So she made me a personal size, like round carrot cake, and this beautiful dish with cream cheese icing. It was so delicious, and it was from Mom's Place. And so I just wanted to give them a shout out because it was divine. Like, it was heavenly, like one of the best cakes I've ever had. And I don't know what it is, but when there are fruit or vegetables in a cake, the cake is just so much more moist. So like zucchini muffins, zucchini bread, carrot cake, stuff like that, delicious. So the Mom's Place gluten-free carrot cake is a hit. So if you're craving carrot cake, it's a great spring dessert. I would check out the one from Mom's Place. Another thing that I am loving is I had posted on Instagram, because I am not a great baker, and I have thrown a lot of things in the garbage can, and I've had a lot of, you know, bad incidences, and I'm just not good at from scratch baking. And I had posted saying that I just really want to learn how to make chocolate chip cookies, and I still would like to learn to make them from scratch. But I did have a company send me a package with a handful of different baking mixes, and the company is called Gluteny Dry Goods, G-L-U-U-T-E-N-Y. So maybe it's gluttony, gluteny. I'm not quite sure how the brand pronounces it, but they have just like a dry cookie mix. So it's just like a basic cookie mix where you could make oatmeal cookies out of it or chocolate chip cookies out of it. And so I thought, we were having friends over and I was like, I'm going to make chocolate chip cookies, but I'm going to make like oatmeal chocolate chip cookies with like coarse sea salt on top. And they were amazing. So this brand was also so good. I can link their page in the show notes. They have really good baking mixes. So we have tried pumpkin bread of theirs. We've tried the sugar cookie mix, and that's when I made the mistake of putting lard in the sugar cookie mix, and it tasted like literal, like it tasted like, oh, beef. It was, if you haven't listened to my beef cookie episode, you can. It's all about my sad story about how I made beef cookies. And okay, so I did oatmeal chocolate chips. So I used gluten-free oats, of course. I used this mix, and then I used Enjoy Life chocolate chips, but then I got large chunks of chocolate. I found like a dairy-free chocolate, and I crunched it up like with a knife, and I put those on top of the cookies once I had rolled them into the balls. And then once they came out of the oven, I sprinkled them with vanilla sea salt. They were very good, and we had them for a dinner party we had a lot of friends over for a game night, and they were a huge hit and they were very delicious. So Gluteny Dry Goods was another awesome fave from this week. And then there was one more that I wanted to talk about that has been a fave. Oh, if you're local to Utah, I just for the first time tried Aubergine's chicken bites. So basically, if you're looking for like a healthy chicken nugget or like a chicken, they're a little bit bigger than chicken nuggets. If you're looking for a healthy chicken bite that are gluten-free, no refined oils, no processed junk, just like a delicious breaded chicken nugget with really yummy tzatziki dipping sauce, go to Aubergine and try their chicken nuggets. We went there today for lunch, and me and my girls just shared chicken nuggets. My kids ate them, I ate them, and they were amazing. So those are kind of like my favorite things that have gone on this last week and some of the brands that I have had and food that I have tried. I had a really awesome Easter weekend with my family. It was really great to be with my family and spend time together. We went to some batting cages and we had like a private batting cage session. So we had a big speaker in there and everyone was dancing and got to have a chance to do the batting cage. And then all of the cousins did an Easter egg hunt, and that was really fun. And my mom was so sweet. She was like, all the candy that I put in the Easter eggs, I checked to make sure it's all gluten-free, which, you know, I always appreciate when my parents go above and beyond for that. And then we started a new tradition that I'm hoping we continue from year after year. But my sister bought wooden eggs, and we did a paint night where we got on Pinterest and looked for like inspiration for like really cute dainty eggs, like a paint night for that. And so we painted eggs, and I did like a fruit one with like little cherries and watermelons and daisies on it, and one that had like a fried egg on it, and then I like sprinkled glitter, black glitter, to make it look like cracked pepper on top. And it was a fun tradition. So if you're looking for something fun to do, it doesn't have to be eggs, but it was a fun little, paint nights are always just fun. And we were snacking on Cadbury eggs and chips and dip. So it was a fun weekend. And God bless, I did not get sick. So hallelujah. All right, let's jump into the meat of this episode, which is this question that this girl wrote in. This week's podcast sponsor is from Ruby. Do you struggle to eat your fruits and vegetables every day? Do you have kids who struggle to eat their fruits and veggies every day? Well, listen up, because I've got a solution for you. It is a game changer for you and your family, and it is called Ruvi. Ruvi is a packet of freeze-dried fruits and veggies made with 100% whole fruits and vegetables, nothing else. No added sugar, no preservatives, no added flavors, and it's GMO-free, so it is good for you and for your kiddos. Each packet contains a wide variety of 8 to 10 whole fruits and vegetables, equaling almost half the serving that you need in your diet every day. Simply add water or milk to the shaker bottle or ice and enjoy a smoothie on the go, or add it to recipes that you already make like pancakes, muffins, yogurt, popsicles, and more. Getting in your fruits and vegetables has never been easier. So instead of spending time and money on overpriced produce from the grocery store that goes bad in a couple of days, give Ruvi a try for a more convenient way for you and your family to enjoy more fruits and vegetables. People who enjoy Ruvi regularly say that the experience, better energy, better gut health, less brain fog, and better sleep. They don't have cravings for junk food as they used to do, and so much more. So head over to goruvi.com to see their customizable subscription options, which allow you to pick which flavors you want and choose what you want and have them delivered right to your house. If you use my code GGFG15, you get an additional 15% off your first subscription order, which is already discounted at 20%. Here's to better health in a more convenient way with Ruvi. That's GORUVI.com. And the code again is GGFG15 in all caps. And additional information is in the show notes. All right. So the question is, do you have any tips on how to ask people for permission to go through their trash and check a food label? If it's my mom, I'll do it without asking. But for other family members and friends, I feel less comfortable. And this is a super great question because we are put in so many different situations and scenarios where we don't know how the food has been prepared, what ingredients were used, what recipe was followed, things like that, where we just are not sure. And we cannot just assume that something is safe if it looks like it's naturally gluten-free because we don't know what it's been seasoned with. We don't know what type of sauce it has. Like, even when I think about like salads, I'm like, okay, well, what was the salad dressing? Oh, it was homemade. Okay, so what was the recipe that you used? Because like I said, it is hidden everywhere. And this was a comment that she had made on my chili reel that I had made about looking at my mom's chili packets and finding that both of them contained wheat flour. So great question, and I want to address this. This comes with practice, and this comes with confidence and not making a big deal out of it, just asking the question point blank. So if I was in this situation and someone had made something and I wanted to know what brand they used or I wanted to know what the recipe was, I would say this. Oh my gosh, this looks so delicious. Like, what recipe did you use? Oh, I just followed a recipe that I found on Pinterest. So that's what the person would say. Oh, can I see it? I'm just curious what the ingredients are. I just want to double check and make sure there's no gluten in the ingredients. Sure. They pull up their phone. This is the recipe that I used. You can look through the ingredients. If there's something that's questionable on there, like Italian seasoning packet, you can say, do you still have that Italian seasoning packet? I'm just curious if I can look at the back of it. The more confident and the more nonchalant you can be, the less you will feel like you're being a nuisance. You're just genuinely asking, like, I'm curious about the recipe and I would love to know what the recipe is, because if you end up loving it, then you can use it and you can ask them to send it to you. If they say, oh, it's in the garbage can, you don't need to be, you can just ask as simple as like, oh, do you mind if I reach in the garbage can and look at the recipe? I personally have done this. 2 weeks ago at Sunday dinner at my brother-in-law's house, he made tacos, and I'm very particular about my taco seasoning because taco seasoning can have hidden wheat in it, and I use a specific brand always. I use the Siete brand because it's gluten-free. And he was like, oh, I used a gluten-free one. And I said, oh, what was the brand? And he said, El Paso. And I'm like, El Paso? I've only been using the Siete brand for years. So like, I haven't even been looking at like El Paso or McCormick or anything like that to see if they do gluten-free. I just stick with the Siete brand. And he was like, yeah, he's like, it says gluten-free on it. And I'm like, really? I was like, can I look at it? I'm like, I've never seen a gluten-free label on the El Paso mix before. And he's like, yeah, sure. It's in the garbage can. And he went and looked in the garbage can for me and lifted up a couple of things and grabbed it. And sure enough, the El Paso brand now says gluten-free straight on the front. So I have been in a situation where I have asked someone to grab the packaging out of the garbage can. If the people that you're asking are your friends and they're your family and they know a general idea of what your dietary needs are, they're not going to be bugged. And if they are, that's their problem. You're just doing your best to keep yourself safe. And sometimes that means, hey, can I look at the packaging and it's in the garbage can? It's just always better to be safe than sorry. And if you don't want to do that, then and you don't feel comfortable with the ingredients or you don't know what the packaging was, don't eat it. Like, you always have the option not to eat it. And I highly encourage you to not take the risk if you feel concerned or you feel uneasy about the ingredients. So that is my tip for this specific situation. Checking food labels is very important. Being confident in the way that you ask and you approach these people, what the recipe is. Confidence and nonchalantness is the way, the route to go. Hey, I would love to know what the recipe is. Can you send me the recipe? Do you have the recipe on Pinterest? Do you have a screenshot of the recipe? Like I said, if these are your people that are your friends or your family that maybe you're not as comfortable with, but they know you to a degree, chances are they aren't going to be offended by it. And they are going to know that you're just trying to make sure that you can eat a delicious meal that they made. I had a friend, we have recently had some new friends, our neighbor friends, and we have been doing a lot of game nights, and game nights include snacking and food. And sometimes we go all out and we do like a big appetizer and dessert spread with our neighbors and our friends. And, you know, so I'm to the point now where my friends know my needs, and we were doing a, appetizer night, and she wanted to do like a bruschetta and lentil dish over, what is it called? Like French bread kind of, or baguettes, like toasted baguettes. And I said, I'll make the baguettes and you just bring the stuff for the topping. And she said, okay, sounds good. So she went to Trader Joe's, she got all of the stuff. And then like 2 hours before we were supposed to get together, she sent me a picture of the box. And this isn't the first time she sent me a picture of an ingredient list, because she always wants to ask me. And she sends me a picture of the ingredients list and says, does this look okay? Like everything looks fine to me, but I just want to double check with you. If you can ask your friends to say, hey, if you're planning on going shopping for something for this evening or for this dinner party or for this event or whatever it may be, the situation, ask your friends ahead of time. When you head to the store, would you mind sending me a picture of the ingredients of like the things that you're buying that maybe you're not quite sure if they're gluten-free? And then you can message them back and say, yes. You are able to read the ingredient list and you can confidently give them a yes or a no because they approached you and showed you the ingredient list. So that's also another route to take. My friend ended up sending me a picture of a lentil box, a box of like marinated lentils. And underneath the ingredient list, it says may contain traces of wheat. And she was like, what in the world? This is crazy. She's like, why are there wheat? Why is there wheat in these lentils? And I said, being gluten-free is stupid. I said, don't worry about it. Thank you for asking me. You can still bring this dish. I just will not eat it. I appreciate you sending me a picture of this so that I knew ahead of time that I shouldn't eat it. Because you think like lentils are gluten-free. Like it's just like a grain that is approved for us. But lentils are typically processed on the same equipment or grown next to wheat as well. So I have seen videos on TikTok and Instagram of people sifting through their lentils and finding wheat kernels. So it's just a silly, silly thing. And my friend was like, this is so stupid. And I was like, gluten-free life is stupid. It's not your fault. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. You can still bring the dish. I just won't have any. And I'm okay with that. All of my friends know my boundaries. They know my rules. They know the rules of my house. And they know, you know, the protocols to follow if they eat gluten at my home. So setting expectations and letting your friends know, letting your family members know, hey, I would love to come. Do you know, is there going to be anything gluten-free there? Can I bring something, or can I send you a recipe to use that I would feel safe eating? You have to educate your family and your friends. Not to say that this girl didn't, because I have, honestly have no idea if she does or doesn't, but this just in general in self-advocacy, you have to speak up for your needs. That reminds me, actually, I just had a DM of a girl who had messaged me a couple of, I don't know, early March. And she had had a really bad experience with her first pregnancy and delivery at the hospital because the doctors didn't know anything about gluten. She submitted it on one of the stories, the horror stories about how the like kitchen staff came up and they were like, can you explain to us what gluten is? Like they didn't even know. So she was really nervous going into this second delivery because she had had such a bad experience. And she just messaged me today. She said, hey, I wanted to give you an update. I had my baby and it's been a night and day difference. It really was all thanks to speaking to my doctor and for my doctor speaking to all of the right people. I had zero issues this time around. Another anecdote for advocating for yourself and speaking up for your needs. So it all really does come down to us to be confident in our self-advocacy skills. It takes practice. Role play with your partner, role play with your mom, role play with a trusted friend. Put yourself in situations where you need to know the dialogue to say so that when you're in the actual situation, you have the confidence to say it. So those are my tips for that. I hope that helps someone who might be struggling with this. Even for me, it's still hard. I feel like I'm at a place now where I can confidently do it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a nuisance or it's not a pain and it's not something that's always on my mind, but it's part of living with this disease. And it's a really great skill to develop in general, not even gluten-free related, just self-advocacy in general and speaking up for your needs. I hope this gives you the confidence to do that this week. And I hope you all have a wonderful gluten-free week. And I will talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and a review. I would love to connect with you on my other social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok. My handle is @goodglutenfreegrub.